the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome to our continuing coverage of the coronavirus crisis. State of frustration.
Freedom is what we want. Freedom is what we demand.
There are protests and counter-protests happening all over America because of the government response to the global pandemic.
Open up yesterday. It never should have closed.
Some say loosen the restrictions now. Others argue not so fast.
Opening up too soon courts danger that it's playing Russian roulette with our lives.
This protester says the cure, though, is worse than the disease.
We're wrecking our economy for something that I feel isn't as dangerous as it's put out there.
Frustrated homebodies have converged on cities like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Buffalo, New York today, demanding a relinquishing of the lockdown. Conservative radio talk show host Dan Bongino sympathizes with these demonstrators.
I promise you, the entrepreneurial, brave American citizens will figure it out. People have to feed their kids. That is what's going on right now.
The mayors of Harrisburg and Buffalo opposed to today's protests. They've called in police to enforce social distancing guidelines. As many as 10,000 people have showed up at the Pennsylvania state capitol. President Trump says social distancing measures have lowered the projected number of COVID-19 deaths across America. The White House predicts there will be about 60,000 fatalities, a figure much lower than earlier projections. Mr. Trump says everyday Americans are doing their part to slow the spread and are eager to get back to work.
They've got cabin fever. They want to get back. They want their life back.
A number of states lifting lockdown restrictions today. Many more will loosen the guidelines come the 1st of May. Vice President Pence says the curve is flattening in coronavirus hotspots.
We are slowing the spread. We're hastening the day when we can put the coronavirus in the past and reopen the American economy.
Pence telling the nation's governors this morning that expanded testing will expedite a return to normalcy. Well, a helping hand is on the way for small businesses which have been decimated by coronavirus. Congress is said to be close to a deal to prop up the cash-strapped Paycheck Protection Program. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott says House Democrats need to get on board the plan.
We should tell Miss Nancy Pelosi, please give us our paychecks. People need their paychecks, and stop holding it hostage in order to do something else.
The plan includes $300 billion to help small businesses recover from coronavirus, $75 billion for hospitals, and another $25 billion for more COVID-19 testing. Canada is reeling today from its worst mass shooting ever. 19 people killed when a gunman dressed like a police officer went on a shooting rampage across 60 miles in Nova Scotia. Chris Leathers with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
The fact that this individual had a uniform and a police car at his disposal certainly speaks to it not being a random act.
The shooter, a 51-year-old denture maker, was shot and killed by cops, and we still have no word as far as a motive goes. Still to come on the Noon Report, reopen rallies. Workers demanding an end to the lockdown in Buffalo and Harrisburg will take you there. A new way to test in New York, and a new way to tie the knot in the midst of this pandemic.
Good afternoon. Looking at sunny skies for most of our region this afternoon, but this time tomorrow we've got showers, even some snowflakes for some. Forecast details are yours coming up in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, just can't shake that winter weather. Checking the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. As we mentioned earlier, protesters are pushing back against New York's Pause Act, a noontime rally underway in Buffalo.
You can only stop the people for so long before they get fed up and start storming out of their houses.
That's Russ Thompson. He is the organizer of what's been dubbed Gridlock Buffalo.
We're responsible adults. We know how to take care of ourselves. and we're not children.
Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown says the protest sends the wrong message. He encouraged folks not to flock to Niagara Square, but many are there today. Cops are there as well in full force, making sure the protesters abide by social distancing guidelines. Pennsylvania's protesting lockdown restrictions. As many as 10,000 have flocked to the state capitol in Harrisburg. They're protesting business closures. Republican Congressman Dan Muser says the governor's actions will spell the demise of thousands of small businesses.
Any business should be able to stay viable as long as they follow very safe working standards. And that's what, where the criteria should be. And the private sector needs a seat at the table. People don't feel as if they've got any say in this.
It has been over a month since Governor Wolf ordered a shutdown of all non-life-sustaining businesses. That order, by the way, did not apply to Planned Parenthood, the state's number one abortion provider. New York begins the next phase in coronavirus testing today as the state reports its fewest deaths from COVID-19 in nearly 3 weeks. New antibody tests are being administered to help determine exactly how many in the Empire State were indeed infected.
That will tell us for the first time what percent of the population actually has had the coronavirus and is now immune to the virus.
Governor Cuomo at a press conference Sunday.
We have been playing catch up from day one in this situation. So it is no time to relax. And this is only halftime in this entire situation.
Many New Yorkers may have contracted COVID-19 and weren't even aware of it as they remain asymptomatic. This new antibody test will determine if they were indeed infected. The number of coronavirus deaths in Pennsylvania has jumped significantly. The tally now over 1,100 statewide.
These deaths did not happen overnight. They did not all occur in the last 24 hours.
Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine says statewide more than 32,000 Pennsylvanians have tested positive in all 67 counties. That said, she admits the news is not all bad.
Social distancing and the mitigation efforts ordered by the governor are working. Our trends are showing that Pennsylvanians' sacrifice to stay at home is working.
Dr. Levine stresses thorough hand washing and sanitizing frequently touched surfaces are the keys to keeping you and your family safe. The Lowe's store in Big Flats, New York, reopened today after being forced to shut down over the weekend due to social distancing violations. The Home Improvement Center will be limiting customers and hiring additional security to assist with crowd control. Medical centers are feeling the cash crunch from coronavirus. Arnett Health and Guthrie have both announced massive job cuts. Arnett laying off 400 staff members last week. Guthrie announcing pay cuts and furloughs in order to manage lost revenue.
The decisions we've made are tough decisions, but we've made them to prepare us for the current and future environment.
That's Joseph Scopoletti. He's president and CEO of Guthrie Health. Executives at the company will take a 20% pay cut, while physicians will see a 10 to 20% drop in their salary. Coronavirus has closed many marriage bureaus, but now there's a new way to have a wedding amid the pandemic. Family Life's Brandon Dixon explains.
Since New York State requires a bride and groom to complete their marriage licenses in person, it's left couples unable to officially wed until now. Governor Cuomo has issued an order that now allows couples to apply remotely. The state will also enable town and city clerks to conduct weddings by video. Cuomo said Saturday there is now no excuse when the question comes up for marriage. You can do it by Zoom. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Whatever it takes. Thank you, Brandon. New York State Senate candidate Leslie Danks Burke sees glimmers of hope and cause for concern on week six now of the coronavirus quarantine.
What concerns me the most is that we'll take off our parachute too early, and that really worries me. What makes me the most optimistic are the individual stories of people who have recovered from the virus, donating plasma to help others. The more of that we see, the better we're going to be able to fight this as a community, and that makes me optimistic.
That's Leslie Danks-Burke. She's founder of Trailblazers PAC and a candidate for the 58th District Senate seat in New York this fall. She's been hosting webcasts with constituents in her district to see how ordinary citizens are weathering the coronavirus storm. The two-minute drill next with sports and Sonny Del Fiette starting us off with some Summer Olympics.
Well, good afternoon. If there is a Summer Olympics in 2021, Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie wants to play overseas for a different team, Nigeria. Seriously, Dinwiddie did not get the invitation to play for USA basketball. Despite no timetable for a possible return, the NBA is still considering all options to resume the season at some point. Commissioner Adam Silver says everything is on the table, but it's too early to decide. Silver also said that there is no deadline to cancel the NBA season. NBA players will start seeing less money in their paychecks next month. The league and union have agreed to a plan that withholds 25% of each player check starting May 15th. Players would get some of that money back based on the amount of games played. Major League Baseball is offering financial relief to each of its 30 clubs. The Athletic reports Commissioner Rob Manfred will inform teams today that uniform employee contracts will be suspended. This will allow teams to furlough employees or reduce their pay starting next month. It's NFL Draft Week. The league will conduct this year's draft virtually, starting with the first round Thursday night. Team personnel and Commissioner Roger Goodell will all be working from home with a shared TV broadcast. The New York Giants pick fourth, the Cleveland Browns 10th, the New York Jets 11th, the Philadelphia Eagles pick 21st. The Pittsburgh Steelers do not have a first-round pick in the NFL draft this year. And talk about a stacked lineup. Boy, Sabrina Ionescu will start her pro basketball career in New York. The Liberty made the Oregon guard the first pick in Friday's virtual WNBA draft. Thanks to a previous trade, New York also selected Connecticut forward Megan Walker and Louisville guard Jasmine Jones all in the first round. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphy.
All right, Sonny, thank you very much. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday, another cold snap in store this week. Kevin Williams has those details in 4 minutes. Making sense of those stimulus checks, perhaps you've got yours. How are you going to spend the money? And in today's feature report, spoiled sports. The impact coronavirus is having on the games we play.
How did the church become non-essential? Well, it started way before a pandemic and some social distancing guidelines. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Crises reveal much about us as individuals, our courage, our faith, our resiliency. They also reveal much about the health and strength of a community, a society, even a nation. Last week, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was asked during a press briefing why the coronavirus infection rate was slowing in his state. The governor said, "The number's down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that." Now, to be clear, he wasn't asked about God or about prayer. He just said this. After all, acknowledging God and providence has been a pretty common theme throughout our nation's history, whether through declaring solemn days of prayer and fasting in the midst of a crisis or a day of thanksgiving after. Today, it's more common for officials to just ignore God or any role that he might play in our world. There's a world of difference between leaving God unmentioned and outright denying he deserves any credit at all for anything. Cuomo's comments, even more than any open hostility against religion that we might see, reveal that a certain kind of secularism is now firmly embedded in our culture. Now, to be clear, this isn't the kind of secularism that takes Christianity or its claims about truth and morality head on, but it's the kind that dismisses and relegates Christianity as personal, private commitments, irrelevant to public life, and maybe even in the way. Though President Trump recently declared a national day of prayer for all Americans affected by the coronavirus, it's pretty clear that as a people, we don't really take God's place seriously in this world anymore, beyond being maybe a source of personal encouragement and maybe inspiration. We're no longer the kind of people who really turn to God in times of trouble. The growing conflict between churches and local governments only confirms this analysis, in my view. I'm thinking, for instance, of those people ticketed and fined for attending a drive-in church service while fully complying with social distancing guidelines, listening to the sermon on radio in the church parking lot with windows rolled up. And that was in Mississippi. Apparently, the mayor, like so many other officials we're hearing about these days, had signed an order deeming churches non-essential. Though he reversed course, the larger point here is that the church has long been relegated to the category of non-essential for so much of our lives as Americans, well before COVID-19. Long gone are the Little House on the Prairie days, where churches were central to life in American communities, when school, community meetings, festivals, local government all happened at the church. How churches became non-essential in our cultural imagination? Well, that's quite a long story. But let's just say this. The primary fault is our own. After all, if we think and talk of our faith as if it's grounded in personal experience only instead of universal truths about the world, if Christianity is described within our own walls as an alternative self-help therapy, well, then we haven't done such a great job catechizing our own people as to why church would be essential. C.S. Lewis once pointed out that people shouldn't become Christians to be happy, since a good bottle of port can do that. In the same way, Christians shouldn't go to church if there's nothing there that they can't get online or in a fun reading club or on a TED Talk or at an AA meeting. In other words, if the church is already non-essential to Christians, well, a pandemic will be more than enough to just make that official. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Time for that work week forecast, and Kevin Williams says just can't shake that winter weather.
Here is your family life weather forecast. For this afternoon, a good deal of sunshine, crisp, high in the mid-40s to the mid-50s. Tonight starts with stars. Clouds arrive with late-night showers, western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, low in the mid-30s to the low-40s. Tomorrow, a blustery day with clouds and showers mixing with snowflakes over western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, high in the 40s. There'll be some snow flurries around tomorrow night and Wednesday, especially southeast of Lake Ontario. Otherwise, on Wednesday, clouds and sunshine, but chilly. High temps, upper 30s to the middle 40s.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report, a Monday edition. Glad you've joined us today. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's happening on Monday, April the 20th.
We are past the high point, and all indications at this point are that we are on a descent. Whether or not the descent continues depends on what we do. But right now, we are on a descent.
That's New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo saying hospitalizations are down and the state reported its fewest COVID-19 fatalities in nearly 3 weeks on Sunday. That said, the governor added that now is not the time to get cocky and the war is not yet won. He says it's only halftime in the fight against coronavirus. A protest rally is happening right now at the Pennsylvania State Capitol. Demonstrators are up in arms over Governor Wolf's lockdown on what he calls non-life-sustaining businesses. The rally is all about reopening Pennsylvania.
Many people in Pennsylvania feel their freedoms as well as their livelihood is being taken from them.
That's Pennsylvania Congressman Dan Muser. He says small businesses that are closed right now will never reopen if shelter-in-place orders are not relaxed.
I completely understand our governor's intent, but the results are far different. What things should be based upon is safe working conditions.
There's also a protest happening right now in Buffalo, New York, over what many consider are draconian and perhaps unconstitutional restrictions enacted by Governor Cuomo. Congress and the White House are said to be close to a deal that would replenish the depleted coffers of the Paycheck Protection Program. That program helps small businesses that have been decimated by the global pandemic. The agreement also includes more money for hospitals and money for further COVID-19 testing. In other news today, Canada reeling from the deadliest mass shooting in that country's history. 19 are dead after a man went on a shooting rampage across Nova Scotia.
The gunman, believed to be 51-year-old Gabriel Wortman, was allegedly disguised in a police uniform and tried to make his car look like a cruiser.
The impact of this incident
will extend from one end of the province to the other.
According to authorities, the victims were shot in several locations. Police have not yet released a motive.
Countless families are in mourning today.
Among the dead, Heidi Stevenson, a 23-year veteran of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The mother of two was killed while responding to the scene.
That report from correspondent Errol Barnett. New York schools are adjusting to the extended pause order that has districts locked down until at least the middle of May. Superintendents say one of the biggest challenges they've had in overcoming this is the digital divide that exists among students forced to learn at home.
We struggle in the southern tier, as do many parts of the state, with a digital poverty that makes an online platform challenging at the very least.
Robert Bradenstine, superintendent of Salamanca City Schools in western New York. The Christian law firm Alliance Defending Freedom is hard at work protecting the rights of churches during the COVID-19 pandemic.
On the one hand, I applaud any efforts to eradicate this horrible virus. And so we want to be smart about it. We want to applaud those proactive efforts. On the flip side, you know, even in times of national pandemic, we don't lose our First Amendment freedom.
That's ADF attorney Ryan Tucker.
When you look at it from a legal perspective, we always look to see, is the restriction that the state or the local government has put in place, is it narrowly tailored? Is it really put together in such a way that it is in place to accomplish its end goal? And what all that really means is, did you really need to do that much in restrictive measures to fix the problem, to keep the population healthy and safe?
Tucker says he's fielding about 100 phone calls a day from church leaders who are unsure about the reach of the social distancing guidelines and stay-at-home orders. So what are your plans for that coronavirus stimulus check? Christian financial advisor Rachel Cruz says if you've got debt, it's best to pay it off.
I really want you to focus on paying your bills as much as possible. And if you have been laid off or furloughed, it's a scary time. It really, really is.
Cruz emphasizes impulsive purchases and big money splurges are unwise at this time.
Focusing on four things: food, shelter, utilities, and transportation. Those are your needs. That's where all your money should go to, not your wants right now.
Cruz says if you are up to date on paying off your bills, you should put your stimulus money away into a savings account. It is coming up on 25 past the hour. Next at noon, we've got a conversation with author, speaker, and sports enthusiast Kurt Smith of Rochester, New York. This former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush has written 17 books on everything from politics to baseball. And recently I spoke with him about the absence of sports in our culture today and the impact that is having on the country. Take a listen. It is an honor to have you on with us today, and let's just talk about one of the, to me, the saddest aspects of this whole coronavirus is the lack of sports, whether it's on television or the games we play, as coaches and kids, and this huge loss in our culture. Describe how this lends us to this overall feeling of depression, loneliness, and isolation in America.
Well, I think that following sports, being on a sports team, rooting for a team, is really one of the ways that we unite as Americans. It's part of the cohesiveness, really, yeah. that unites the country. I mean, I've loved sports ever since I was a kid, ever since I can remember, when I was in Little League at 7, 8, 9 years old. And it wasn't because I was talented. Believe me, the old adage that you can't buy first base, I couldn't rent first base either. And, but that didn't deter my love of baseball and other sports as well. And so I think it's one of the vocations, and certainly in many more, an avocation. It's something that becomes one of the great habits and one of the great things that we do.
Yeah.
And so there's a great vacuum, I think, in the heart of the country today.
Speaker and author Kurt Smith joining us on the Live Line. Kurt's written many books from politics to baseball, and we're talking about the lack of sports in the country right now. It's on pause for now, and for each of us, it's something we miss dearly. Some it's the basketball, others golf, hockey, whatever. For me, like you, it's baseball, that rite of spring. We kind of mark time by sports, don't we? When we don't have it, we sort of lose time.
I think we take it for granted. And I think that that is true, whether it be a weekly sport like football or twice or thrice a week like basketball or hockey. I think the void, Bob, is more pronounced in baseball because it's a daily sport.
Yeah.
And because it's less an event than a fact of life. It's background music. It's a score that plays in our daily life. We can be listening to a game on radio in the car or in the backyard or watching it on television. And it's a friend, it's a companion. John Miller, the great voice formerly of ESPN and now of the San Francisco Giants, says that baseball is good company. We enjoy it, and it enhances our time. And I think that really defines it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I think that whenever there was a baseball strike by the players, we felt it keenly, and we feel it more keenly, I think, today.
Yeah. You know, and I heard other sports commentators say this. Boy, I would hate to be a sports broadcaster right now. I mean, how do you fill your time? But I heard one sports broadcaster say this was a necessary distraction from the real world, and now we don't have that distraction, so it's hard for us to cope.
Well, by and large, it was a positive from the real world, which is often a negative.
Yeah.
And there's nothing positive about this, except for the gallantry and the valiance, I would suppose, of the average American in terms of how we've dealt with this.
Yeah.
I think that America has ennobled itself and shown a great deal of courage by how it's dealt with this. But except for that, this would be a case in which we could have dealt without that rather gladly. There's obviously no positive in the injury, the death, the separation, and the extraordinary tragedy of it all.
Yeah, so in the meantime, we improvise. They're showing professional athletes playing games of horse on ESPN.
Yeah.
I saw them doing video games the other day. I got to watch the 2004 World Series again. So I say all that, you know, when it comes time to, and pardon the pun here, Monday morning quarterback this thing, and this, we're all living history here. Do you think we will look back at this time, this blip in history, and say, maybe we put too much of an emphasis on sports, Kurt, or do you think we will look back on this period and say, man, sports really matters? Which do you think it'll be?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we know because we don't know what damage this has done to the country, the traumatic damage to families, to the economy, the trauma that it's inflicted upon individuals and the family unit. We don't know that because we don't know the end game. We don't know when the country is going to come back, and we don't know the shape in which it's going to be, the condition, economic, spiritual. We don't know what this is going to do to the state of religion. Yeah. I hope it enhances it because I think that in a state like this, we all turn to God, or should, because that's the one everlasting truth. But it's hard to think of that at times like this, when that seems ephemeral, and what exists around us is simply horror.
Well, I know you will second this. There will be no sweeter sound than when they finally say, play ball, play ball.
Well,
I cannot wait.
My former boss, George Herbert Walker Bush, often called those the two sweetest words of the English language, and who am I to argue with him?
Amen. That's author, speaker, baseball enthusiast Kurt Smith of Rochester, New York. If you missed any of our conversation today, do not despair. You can always download a free podcast. Simply go to fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure delivering the nice day today will give way to low pressure and an attending cold front that will bring clouds, showers, even snowflakes to the region. Tomorrow night with some pretty good wind and another chunk of unusually chilly air. The call though for this afternoon, a good deal of sunshine, crisp, high in the mid-40s to the mid-50s. Tonight starts with stars. Clouds arrive with late night showers, western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, low in the mid-30s to the low 40s. Tomorrow, a blustery day with clouds and showers mixing with snowflakes over western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, high in the 40s. There'll be some snow flurries around tomorrow night and Wednesday, especially southeast of Lake Ontario. Otherwise, on Wednesday, clouds and sunshine, but chilly. High temps, upper 30s to the middle 40s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. And finally, at noon, during this time of social distancing, it can be difficult to find ways to interact with the community. Difficult, but not impossible. One Corning, New York area photographer has found a safe way to do that while contributing to a very worthy cause.
I think that people are really hungry for human connection, and people want to do something to help. They need a reason to change out of their jammies and interact with people in a way that's safe. And so I think this is just a way to sort of build some community during this time.
That's Maria Strini of Painted Post, and she is taking portraits. That's porch traits. These are short 10-minute photo sessions with families quarantining together on their front porches. For every photo shoot she does, Strini asks that family make a donation to the Food Bank of the Southern Tier.
I think, you know, the second biggest concern after the virus itself, and perhaps even more in our area, the number one concern right now is people losing employment. And food is right there at the top of the concerns. The absolute best way you can help the food bank right now is through donations.
How about that? Maria Strini of Painted Post, New York, doing these 10-minute, what she calls, portraits for families in the Corning area. Already, she's had 15 families sign up. Love the work she does. And by the way, she's a pretty awesome neighbor, too. Way to go, Maria. And that's the world we live in, Monday, April 20th. As always, thanks for checking in. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.